Good morning. This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. Three men have something in common this morning. Amin Jamil, Bruce McCandless, and Robert Stewart. Up in the air, without a tether. Jamil's Beirut has virtually fallen to the Muslim militia, and he hasn't been heard from since Sunday. But for the astronauts, McCandless and Stewart, weightless flight is according to plan. They are outside the Space Shuttle Challenger, putting their names in the log of space history. Jay Jones reports from the Kennedy Space Center.
Bruce McCandless said, "It may have been a small step for Neil, but it's a heck of a big leap for me." With that reference to the first human footstep on the moon, McCandless was off. With his jet-powered backpack latched onto his spacesuit, the astronaut made his first tentative movements around Challenger's cargo bay, and then out he went into space, first 150 feet from Challenger, then out to 320 feet. McCandless called the backpack a beautiful flying machine. He admired the spectacular view, his locator lights flashing, his jets firing. He became the first human Earth-orbiting satellite. And then it was back to the cargo bay to give his partner, Robert Stewart, his turn. Stewart put on the backpack and began testing the space-age work platform that astronauts will use when they repair satellites in space. And then Stewart prepared to leave the bay and venture out to become the second man in space without a tether. This is an exciting part of Shuttle Mission 41B, and success could help relieve the disappointment over the failure of Challenger's two satellite payloads. Commander Vance Brand said after awakening this morning, the news about the wayward Indonesian satellite blew his mind. But Mission Control assured the crew that what has happened is none of their fault, that the five astronauts have performed their part of the mission almost without a flaw. Jay Jones, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The battleship New Jersey fired its 5-inch guns at targets in Lebanon this morning, but the targets may be shifting with the tide of battle. Larry Pintack reports.
After a night of living hell, West Beirut this morning is in the hands of the Muslim left. All across this sector, Muslim militiamen patrol the streets. Mixed among them are troops of the Lebanese army, deserters, living proof that Amin Jamil's American-trained, American-equipped army has fallen apart. There are still a few pockets of resistance here, army positions where Christian officers and a handful of Christian government troops are holding out. They are still loyal to Jamil, but how fiercely they are fighting also reflects the fact that they are Christians cut off in an area now controlled by their Muslim enemies. Throughout the night, artillery pounded this sector. At times, shells fell at the rate of more than 2 a minute. Those who live in West Beirut spent the night in their basements. They emerged this morning to a scene of utter destruction. Buildings gutted, cars wrecked, the streets carpeted in broken glass and bits of concrete. They also found a city divided once more, their hopes of unity shattered. From Amin Jamil, there is nothing but silence. He has not been heard from since Sunday night. As one top Lebanese military source put it, everything we ever feared has happened. West Beirut has fallen, and the army is disintegrating. Larry Pintack, CBS News, Beirut.
This is Deborah Potter in Las Vegas. Administration officials are carefully refraining from treating the situation in Lebanon as a crisis. So today, President Reagan will deliver a speech here on education and then fly to his California ranch for a 5-day vacation. But it's clear there is concern about the possibility of a general collapse, and officials are trying to bolster the Jamil government with words, if not deeds. White House spokesman Larry Speak says the U.S. does not want Jamil to resign and doesn't expect him to. And he stressed that there's been no change in the Marines' mission in Beirut. Officials also are making it clear that they blame the Syrians for the latest round of violence. Said Speaks, any disarray in Lebanon benefits those who seek to disrupt the peace process, and that includes Syria. But for now, there is no sign that the U.S. will resort to a massive show of force to bring Syria into line. Administration officials are still hoping that what appears to be a bleak situation can turn into an opportunity to broaden the base of the Lebanese government and bring back a measure of stability. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Las Vegas.
The crisis in Lebanon has House Democrats taking another look at their timing of that resolution demanding a Marine pullout. Phil Jones reports from Capitol Hill.
The original plan of the House Democratic leadership was to charge ahead this week with a resolution which would call on the president to get the Marines out of Lebanon in a prompt and orderly manner and for the president to report within 30 days on peace progress. But with the turn of events, most of the Democrats have backed off. Besides the uncertainty in Lebanon, Democrats such as Stephen Solars are concerned about domestic political backlash if they were to go ahead now.
I would be very reluctant to see a situation develop in which, through no fault of ours, the government in Lebanon collapsed, and the president, because we had reported out a resolution in our committee, attempts to pin the responsibility for the unfortunate developments in Lebanon on the Democrats and the Congress.
Today, the House Foreign Affairs Committee will get a closed-door briefing from a key State Department official. But the feeling here is that the way things are going in Lebanon, any resolution calling for withdrawal of Marines may become academic. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Wall Street's wondering this morning, how now, Dow Jones, and how far? Another sell-off yesterday plunged the industrial averages nearly 23 points. Ray Brady takes a look at the tape.
They're selling stocks on Wall Street because of continuing fears in the financial community over the huge deficits in Washington. Investors are worried that as the government borrows money to pay for those deficits, interest rates will be forced up even higher. More selling came yesterday partly because of a report to Congress by Paul Volcker, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, warning that unless some action is taken to curb the deficits, the government will drain off a large part of the funds that are available to borrowers, both public and private borrowers. That would mean individual Americans might have difficulty borrowing money to buy houses, cars, and other items, the kind of buying that has kept the economic recovery moving forward. So Wall Street kept selling stocks, driving the Dow Jones Industrial Average down more than 100 points over the past few weeks. In yesterday's selling alone, the loss to investors in just one day came to more than $30 billion. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
Gold was fixed at 379 and a quarter in London this morning. That's down $2 from yesterday. The U.S. dollar has turned around and after a three-day decline, moved ahead on the European money markets. A Panamanian registered freighter sank in heavy seas off the coast of France this morning. Eight crewmen were drowned. The owners of the missing racehorse Shurgard have concluded the stallion probably was killed soon after it was stolen a year ago tomorrow. Cleveland voters are going to the polls today to decide whether federal money should go toward building a mill in Cleveland, which will be owned largely by foreign investment.
CBS News, I'm Douglas Edwards. The obviously deteriorating situation of the Lebanese government has prompted action by Washington today. The United States has begun airlifting non-essential staff and dependents of personnel at its embassy in Beirut. They were taken out just before dark. Many had spent last night trapped inside the compound by nearby fighting. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Shultz, who's arrived in Grenada, has hinted that the U.S. Marine peacekeepers may get new orders. Shultz says the administration is discussing what role the Marines might play in addressing the nature of what is becoming an all-out civil war in Lebanon. In Beirut, reporter Alan Pizzi tells us residents are once again at the unenviable task of cleaning up homes and businesses damaged in the latest round of factional fighting. The intensity has diminished somewhat as the day progresses. Rebel Muslims have called for a ceasefire with the army, something the Christian president Jemayel has been calling for. The Muslim militias control much of West Beirut now, and the army is holding on to key government buildings with the approval of the rebels. Now this message.
If you've got a boss who needs copies all day long, cause he's
gotta meet a deadline.
You need a Mita, full service copier. Mita copiers are so reliable.
Gotta meet a schedule.
And so economical.
Gotta meet a budget.
With reduction, enlargement, feeding, sorting, and picture perfect copies at a very low price. Not to mention that great service from your own personal Mita man.
Gotta meet a...
Yeah?
Gotta meet a...
Yeah?
Oh, gotta meet a man.
Mita!
Full service copiers.
Call toll free 1-800-222-0878.
The beauty, the grace, the breathtaking leaps and spins make figure skating one of the most popular events in the Winter Olympics. And America's hopes for a gold medal this year glide with Elaine Zayac, Scott Hamilton, and others. I'm Brent Musburger. Ed Ingalls and I will brave the snows of Sarajevo to bring you special reports on the competition and all Olympic events every day. They're going for the gold starting February 8th. Follow the Winter Games with CBS Radio Sports on most of these stations. There's something special.
An adventure in space is now history. The first men to float free in space, unattached to their craft, are now back, safe and sound. Jay Jones is keeping tabs at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Astronauts Bruce McCandless and Robert Stewart are stowing their gear away after two thrilling spacewalks. McCandless was bubbling as he jetted out to 320 feet from the Challenger spacecraft, praising the view and calling his nitrogen gas-powered backpack a nice flying machine. Later in the cargo bay, when Stewart was putting on the backpack, the experienced McCandless gave him some advice.
Just remember one thing, one false move and flop.
But Stewart made no false moves. Although he did get tangled up in a tether before he left the cargo bay, Stewart backpacked to a little over 300 feet out in space, maneuvering easily, the Army helicopter pilot saying it's a piece of cake. McCandless and Stewart, the world's first human satellites. Jay Jones, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Federal Reserve Board Chairman Paul Volcker says the United States has time, but not much time, to prevent a sharp turnaround in the economic recovery. Volcker told the House Banking Committee that deficits in the federal budget and foreign trade present what he called a clear and present danger to sustained growth and stable markets. Though the opening ceremonies aren't until tomorrow, the 1984 Winter Olympic Games got underway today on a disappointing note for this country. The U.S. hockey team lost to Canada 4-2 in Sarajevo, Yugoslavia. That means the U.S. team will probably not even make it to the medal round, much less match its 1980 feat of winning the gold. Some warlike rhetoric in Geneva today. The Soviet delegate to a United Nations disarmament conference dismissed President Reagan's recent call for a Soviet-American dialogue as a demagogic trick to influence world opinion. The American delegate in turn described the Soviet remarks as petty slander and demeaning characterizations. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones averaged down 4.5 points, volume 48 million shares.
Every 4 years, the world drops what it's doing to watch his dreams and determination are tested. To stand in awe and admiration as the Olympic spirit takes form in dazzling performances of breathtaking skill. To these, the games of the 23rd Olympiad, America will once again send its best. And to the members of the U.S. Olympic team, we at Kmart send our best. We know what it's taken to get there. That's why we feel so very good about being official sponsors of the U.S. Olympic teams. Again, from the people of Kmart, good luck, America. We'll be with you all the way.
We've got it, and we've got it good.
The results won't be known for months, but doctors in Houston this morning transferred bone marrow from a man into his 6-month-old son. The objective, to provide the infant with the capability to fight infection, something he lacks. The father's marrow doesn't match the boy's. The results from previous marrow transplants in non-matching patients is unclear. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.